For criminal defendants in New York hoping to have their case heard by the state's top court, their chances could depend on which of the 7 Court of Appeals judges is randomly tapped to determine if the full bench should consider the case. In light of an extensive recent story on this issue by Newsday that highlighted this dynamic, we wanted to explore what it all means, and to do that, we're joined by Vin Bonventri, a professor with Albany Law School and author of the New York Court Watchers blog, who's been studying this issue for years now. Welcome back to the show, Vin.
Good to be with you, Dave.
So for starters, can you explain why a criminal defendant might be seeking some sort of relief from the Court of Appeals, which is obviously far removed from the trial-level courts that might have initially heard one of these cases?
That's right. So actually, whether it's a defendant or even if it's a prosecutor who lost on a motion to suppress, but in any event, either side who has lost at the intermediate appellate level, regardless of what has happened to trial, might want to seek review by our court of last resort, right? The Court of Appeals. There are some rare circumstances where there's an automatic appeal, but virtually all the time, in order to get to the Court of Appeals, one of the Court of Appeals judges, or the court as a whole, depending upon the type of case, must grant your application. So it's, you know, you hear people say, I'm taking this case all the way to the Court of Appeals. Well, it's not up to you to do that. So the Court of Appeals is the one that decides whether or not a criminal case gets to the court for review.
Under previous chief judges, how many criminal cases would the state's top court regularly hear? And how does that compare to Chief Judge Janet DeFiore's tenure?
Now, I've been looking at this, since the 80s, and in terms of criminal cases where you had a judge on the Court of Appeals granting leave, and we ought to explain that because the system is kind of weird. The court traditionally had been granting anywhere from 90 to 100, sometimes a little bit more than that, criminal cases a year. There have been 2 times during the last 40 or so years where there was really a drop in the number of criminal appeals which the court granted. One of them was in the late 1990s when you had Governor Pataki complaining about the Court of Appeals being too liberal, being the most liberal court in the country, which was kind of absurd to be saying that. But, you know, I mean, that's what his fans wanted to hear. And the Court of Appeals kind of pulled in its horns, and all of a sudden, there was a fairly precipitous drop in the number of criminal cases they were granting appeal. We've had that happen recently. Since Janet DeFiore became chief judge, we've had a real plummet in the number of criminal applications that have been granted. I'm not talking about who wins. I'm talking about whether a case is even heard. So when Chief Judge DeFiore became the chief, there was about 90, maybe a little bit more than that, number of applications that were granted. It's now down to about 30. So 1/3 of the number of criminal cases have been granted review by the current court, which is, of course, why you have criminal defense lawyers absolutely furious around the state.
And for context, are we talking about accepting 90 or 30, depending on the court? And are we talking out of thousands of potential requests, hundreds? What's sort of the scope here?
We're talking about, on any given year, we're talking about anywhere from 2,300 to 2,600 applications. So if you figure on an average, there'll be about 2,400, 2,500 applications, and the court currently is only granting about 30. Well, do the figures. I mean, it's an extraordinarily low percentage. But not only that, it's the contrast with what has been traditional at the court.
If I'm a criminal defendant and I'm seeking this relief, is my only means really this random selection of judges who might review your case, or are there other ways to get potential relief from the state's top court?
There's another possibility. The other possibility is if you have a party that loses at the intermediate appellate court, that's the appellate division. If that party can get one of the justices at the appellate division to grant leave to the Court of Appeals, that justice can do so. That does not happen too often. Overwhelmingly, the criminal cases get to the Court of Appeals by virtue of these criminal leave applications. Having said that, what's particularly unusual about criminal leave applications is that only one judge on the court decides it. Only one judge on the court gets the application. Only one judge at the court ever hears about the application. So the applications go to the court. Please hear my criminal appeal. Those applications are then distributed randomly and equally among all seven judges. The judge that happens to get it is the only judge that ever sees the application, is the only judge that ever rules on it. So depending upon what judge a party's application is distributed to, that party may have a good shot at getting an appeal or a terrible shot. So for instance, at the court currently, one of the judges, Judge Rowan Wilson, he apparently grants applications for review about 10 a year. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Judge Michael Garcia, and he grants two or less a year. So, you know, if you get Wilson for your application, you have a much, much better chance of getting your case reviewed by the Court of Appeals.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Vin Bonventri, a professor with Albany Law School and author of the New York Court Watcher blog, and we're talking about the number of criminal defendants who are able to get their cases heard on appeal by the state's top court. Is there also any sort of indicators about the, let me phrase that, are there any indicators that you can turn to that suggest how a judge might rule? I mean, you mentioned Garcia. He's a former federal prosecutor. Maybe he's less inclined, or Wilson's more liberal, so he's more inclined. What sort of things might tip a judge's hand?
That certainly is one of them. In other words, it seems if you look at the figures, and by the way, it's not easy to get the figures for each of the judges. The court does not report that. The court reports the number of applications, and then the number of applications granted by the court as a whole in order to determine which judges are granting and which judges aren't granting. It's extraordinarily tedious. Thank you. I'm a nerd, so I do all the tedious calculations. But, you know, if you're looking at a judge who's much more pro-prosecution, chances are that judge is not necessarily going to be as sympathetic to granting review to criminal defendants who are most of the applicants for review. Judges who are much more assertive and protective of the rights of the accused, they tend to be the ones who are granting more. But, you know, a party doesn't have a choice. A party doesn't have a choice, so the party sends an application to the Court of Appeals, and then that application is distributed to one of the judges. If the party happens to get Wilson, well, there's a good shot. If the party happens to get Judge Garcia, there's much, much lesser of a chance that the appeal is going to be granted.
You mentioned that the mid-level appeals judges can also send cases up to the state's top court, but it's been reported by the New York Law Journal that Chief Judge DeFiore had basically discouraged judges from submitting these appeals. Do you think that was an appropriate step by her?
She's not the first one to have done that. Apparently, Chief Judge Judith Kaye did the same thing. And I'm telling you, there's pros and cons to that. The pro to support what Chief Judge DeFiore and Chief Judge Kaye have done is that, you know, the kinds of cases that the Court of Appeals ought to be reviewing are the kinds of cases that really involve issues of law that need to be resolved for the state. In other words, important statewide issues. The Court of Appeals is in a much better position to determine those kinds of questions than appellate division judges are. Not all the time. I don't mean to suggest that's the case all the time. But, you know, oftentimes what will happen is that you will get a justice at the appellate division who's in dissent, and that justice understandably thinks that's the most important case, and his colleagues got it so desperately wrong, that case has got to be reviewed. But that's not the way the Court of Appeals reviews and decides to review a case. The Court of Appeals doesn't necessarily look to see whether or not the lower court incorrectly applied the law. The Court of Appeals looks to whether or not the law is settled, whether or not the law needs to be settled or resolved for the entire state. So it's a very different perspective on what should reach the Court of Appeals.
Well, it sounds like you think this is not the best way of deciding what cases are heard, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but if you think this isn't the best way, what would be a better way to decide what cases make it to the state's top court?
Well, certainly the way the court decides what civil appeals the court is going to hear. The entire court hears, the entire court reviews applications, right? Motions for leave to appeal in civil cases. So, for example, somebody wants to appeal a case to the Court of Appeals in a civil case, right? Torts, contracts, property, anything like that. There is a report, there's an application, there's a report that is produced by one of the clerks at the court. One of the judges reviews that and then presents that to the entire court. And the entire court votes on that. And if there are two judges who say, we should hear this appeal, then the court does review that civil case. That's a much, much better way. That's a much fairer way. The way it is right now, it's gambling. It's gambling. If you get a judge that's very sympathetic to hearing criminal cases, you have a much better chance than a judge that's much stingier in granting criminal appeals. I'm hardly the first one to say this. The bar associations have been saying this. Criminal defense lawyers have been saying it. Some of the judges, former judges of the Court of Appeals have been saying this. So, you know, I don't know if it will ever change. There's a statute right now that says that criminal appeals applications are decided by one judge. So the statute would have to be changed, or the court actually could just reform itself internally and say, look, we're just going to have two judges always look at these applications. The court could do that.
We've been speaking with Vin Bonventri. He's a professor with Albany Law School and author of the New York Court Watchers blog. Vin, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for inviting me, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.